The Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast. Hey everybody, this is very special guest, Todd Robert Anderson. Welcome to the Tarncast. I'm speaking solo right now, without a host, due to my own technical mishap. Karen Coleman hosted the show. We recorded it yesterday. It was a Sunday. It was a lovely afternoon. And she came all the way out to my house from where she lives. And it was the longest Tarncast ever. It was 2 hours and 10 minutes of marvelous conversation. I had a wonderful time. I hope she did too. She's very fun to talk to. She's an amazing listener super smart. And, you know, easy on the eyes. So all those things together make for... I was very lively, but technical mishaps happen. Unbeknownst to me, my computer was much too full, and the auto recording on the software I use called Audacity was not working because there wasn't enough space on the computer. I was only able to salvage 20 minutes, the first 20 minutes. And the rest is lost to the ether. And I feel heartbroken, incompetent, useless. But the show must go on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you this 20 minutes. And we're going to call this episode of the Tarncast a teaser for the real Karen Coleman Tarncast, which we will hopefully re-record at some point. She assured me she had a great time. She didn't mind. See, there's this whole history to this. I've been trying to get Karen to do this, to host this podcast for months and months and months and months. And due to lots of different reasons, one of us wound up having too much work to do and that got in the way, or one of us was sick, or it was somebody else that we knew was sick and we had to do this and that and the other thing, and we were like, we're cursed, it's never going to happen. So it finally happened after all these months. Finally sat down, got to do this recording, and it didn't record. So it feels like a curse. I realize I'm blaming what is essentially my own just fault on superstitious monster beings from beyond that give curses. But still, you know, come on. What the hell? It's a bummer. It's a real bummer because it was a really fun. And we talked about a lot of stuff, and I think we cured cancer. And all that stuff is gone. It's lost. It's like that movie The Medicine Man. Cured cancer. Can't remember what he did with it. So without further ado, I'll do a little sting, an audio sting, and we'll play the 20 minutes that we have of Karen Coleman, and then I'll do another audio sting come back and say goodbye. So anyway, I apologize for not having a full 2-hour podcast for you and instead having a 25-minute podcast for you because I'm an idiot. There's no other – I am stupid. That's what happened. I'm stupid. I apologize to Karen. I can't wait to do it again and actually record it. And thank you so much for coming. You're wonderful. The audio sting, I thought about like looking for, you know, audio stings online, that I could get for free. And then I thought it would be a waste of time because, you know, my time is precious. So then I thought, well, what can I use for an audio sting? Should I just, like, play a piece of the theme song instead, you know, or whatever? And then I thought, wow, that's going to be a lot of extra steps to producing this podcast that is a failure because of my technical retardation. Instead, what I'm going to do, just out of pure laziness and sort of a sense of apathy, because I feel I'm cursed by demons. I'm going to do a sting, audio sting with my own voice. So after the audio sting, enjoy the only 20 minutes of the Karen Coleman Toncast that was recorded. Think of it as a teaser. Again, think of it as a teaser for the real thing. So here comes the audio sting.
Welcome to the Toncast. My name is Karen Coleman. I have a very special guest, Todd Anderson.
Hi.
Hi, Todd.
Thanks for having me on your show, Karen. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of nerve-wracking.
It's nerve-wracking?
Yeah, because, you know, I've never interviewed someone so famous.
Oh, yeah, I am very intimidating. I'm very famous.
You are.
Actually, yeah. I like what... Did you read... You know who Taylor Negron was?
No.
He was an actor and comedian. He passed away a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no. And why did he die?
Cancer.
Oh.
He had been battling with it on and off for a while, I guess. But I grew up with him. He's like a character guy. I bet if you saw him, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that
actually,
guy.
Negron is a pretty distinct name.
Yes, and he was actually the nephew of Chuck Negron, who was the lead singer of Three Dog Night.
I know, so, Three Dog Night.
Yeah, so he was the nephew. But anyway, he's a comedian. He was in tons of movies in the 80s and 90s. Trying to think. You don't watch action movies, do you?
Of course.
Did you ever see The Last Boy Scout?
Maybe.
With Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans. It's like a Tony Scott movie from the 90s.
Oh.
It's excessively violent and ludicrous on every level. I kind of love it for those reasons. But Taylor Negron is like one of the heavies.
He is.
Yeah.
I'll have to look him up.
Like one of the things he says that's awesome is he's parked outside of a house and a cop comes up and says, is there a problem here? And Taylor Negron goes, yes, officer. Apparently there are too many bullets in this gun. Just shoots him in the face.
That's awesome.
Performances like that, and that probably is this like crowning achievement as, you know,
the
an
bullets
actor.
In the gun.
He's marvelous. But he was in Punchline. I don't know if you ever saw that movie with.
So he's like in really bad movies then.
Some really bad movies.
Was there ever a good movie that he was in? Like, you know, 3 stars or above?
He was in a lot of comedies like I liked. I don't know if you would like he was in those Savage Steve Holland movies in the 80s. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I said good movies.
Come on. One Crazy Summer and Better Off Dead are good movies. How I Got Into College wasn't a good movie, but Taylor Negron had a really funny cameo as a mailman. And the kid who's waiting to find out like if he got accepted into college is like, dying to open the mail and get the acceptance letter, right? And Taylor Negron, the postal worker, knows this and is torturing the kid every time he comes by. But this one time, the kid runs out and goes, did anything come? And he goes, yes, congratulations. And the kid gets all excited and then he holds up the publisher's clearinghouse. You may already have won $10 million. And the way he, like, the joyful way he was being cruel,
yeah.
He, like, had this delivery that killed me. But he was a really smart guy. And this website, ExoJane, published this thing that he'd written for them that they hadn't published before he died. And it was about being this, he called it famish.
Oh, okay.
He's not famous. He's famish.
So we are doing a circle here.
Yeah.
We're getting back to
that. Yeah, we're getting back to
Excellent.
That. And he wrote that, and I was like, he's really nailing what it is to be more of a working class actor in Hollywood. Because people recognize you, but they're not sure
where. Well, there's a documentary, right, on
That guy's?
No, yes.
Yeah. Isn't it called just
Yeah,
that I think guy or yeah. something. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a great documentary.
There's like a whole website, thatguy.com, that's just dedicated to people who you recognize and you wouldn't know their
name. And you have no idea what their name is, but you know their face instantly.
Unless you're like me and you're an actor and you know who most of them are.
So do you think it's because you're an actor that you know who they are, or you're because you're so obsessed with film? Because it is bordering on an obsession. If anybody has, you know, we are actually in your
office.
Office, mm-hmm. yes. So mm-hmm. you, I came to you so that I could interview Todd Anderson, the famous person. And we are surrounded by all kinds of DVDs of all kinds of movies that you would not even imagine people would collect because some of them are so bad. And so
it's true. Everybody's
movie posters, you know, some of them are great because they're, you know, the classic B movies like Creature from the Black Lagoon and Fuzz Track City.
Now, Fuzz Track City is a movie that I'm in. All right.
Oh, look at you.
You see, that's me in the middle.
You're the lead.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You have actually headlined a movie. How many movies have you headlined?
That's the only one where I'm the lead. Yeah. I've been a supporting lead in a couple of small movies, but that was the first one where I was basically on screen the entire time.
So Dee Wallace was in that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
We have sex.
Do you?
Yeah.
Have we talked about this before? This sounds familiar.
Yeah, I told you about Fuzz Track City. Yeah.
Okay.
It's out on video, and you can download it and stuff.
Oh, totally. We're going to do it.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. I mean, it's like it's super low budge. I mean, it's like I don't really understand how they broke these up, but there's like low budget and then experimental budget and then no budget. And this is less than 100, yeah. I mean, it's like low-budget movies are like $5 million movies.
Okay. Wow.
And then, like, experimental budgets are like 500 grand or whatever. So this is less than 100 grand.
Oh, my God.
So it's like less than a shoestring budget. It's a no-budget movie.
So nobody but it got looks paid, like, basically.
No. But it looks like $1 million. And it's a lot of fun. Like, a lot of
like
times...
like $1 million.
It does. It does. It cooks.
Yeah, but in your rating scheme, that's like between experimental and low budget.
Well, yeah, but that's pretty good if you can make less than 100 grand look like $1 million.
That's true.
It cooks and it's fun. It's fun.
It cooks.
Yeah, it's like it's well paced. You probably don't watch a lot of shoestring budgeted movies like on Netflix or whatever.
I don't know if I do or not. How would I know that?
You can tell by production value quite often. I mean, that's usually when movies are that low budget and they have a funny poster or something. Like, for example, a movie like Monsterd is extremely...
The fact that you know about this movie is just wow.
Oh, there's a whole history with me. There was two movies made by these guys who live up, I think, in the Bay Area or Northern California or somewhere like mm-hmm. that. And they made these, they're like backyard productions. It's like their friends in their town making these movies. And then they were obviously built around a dumb title. And, which is, this is Monsterd. So it's like a monster made of poo.
Can we not swear on that?
You can swear all you want.
So why would you say poo instead of shit?
Funnier. A monster made of poo. Yeah, poo's a funnier word than shit. And yeah, I think. Certainly in this particular instance.
Really?
Yeah. It's a monster made of poo. Like, a monster made of shit.
Yeah, I can see your point.
Also, like, there's no question. Like, shit can mean a lot of things these days. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about
That's
cinema.
True.
This
That's
movie's
true.
A piece of shit. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's literally about a monster made of poo.
Yes.
But there's no... You know
it's
what
very
poo
specific.
Is.
Yep. Yeah. You it know gave what poo me a, is. Yes, I got a mental image right away.
So they did this movie... Monsterd, and then they did another movie.
Let me guess. No.
It was called, it's a little bit of a change from Monsterd. It's called Retarded. And it So both of these movies are like very low budget, but just there's no nice way to say this. So I'm just going to say it.
Mm-hmm. They were bad.
Incompetently made. Oh. Not understanding very simple rules of filmmaking, like the 180 degree rule.
So, which is, wait.
It basically means when you're getting coverage of two people talking to each other, mm-hmm. you got to make sure that the eye lines are right. So when you shoot one person and you turn around on the other, you're turning around basically 180 degrees. Oh. If you do it the wrong way, then it looks weird. Like if you only turn 90 degrees, it looks like the people will look like they're not actually talking to each other. And then you'll cut to your master shot where clearly they're talking to each other. But then it looks like they're looking in the wrong direction if you don't.
I've seen movies like that.
Right. That's incompetence. So this movie is filled with this level of incompetence.
But that's fun. Did they do it on purpose?
It was fun. No, I don't think so. Because we did alternative, because I heard about these movies, and with my group, the Film Pigs, we did these Mystery Science Theater. Do you ever watch that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is basically what we're doing. We're doing a low rent, like, more, you know, whiskey fueled version of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Sounds like fun.
It is fun. It's always fun to do. And, you know, and then we would tell people, you know, you set it up so you start the movie at exactly the same time we do and you can listen to us talk mm-hmm. as if we're a DVD commentary.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. But we did these two movies like back to back, which was, you know, in retrospect, a huge mistake.
Why?
Well, because, you know, you watch one, it's too much.
Yeah.
It was too much of the badness. And by the time we got to Retard Ed, it had become offensive.
Yeah.
And there's a level of, I don't know, it's the weirdest thing. It's like, have you ever heard of that movie, The Room?
Possibly. I mean, it's a hugely general title, so.
Well, watch The Room.
Okay.
And you'll understand, like, what, like, a hysterically bad movie is. I mean, this movie's so bad, and the acting is bad.
And it's on purpose?
No. It's not. It's clear. That's what's great about it.
At the end of our podcast, we are going to actually summarize all of these movies so that those of you that really want to torture yourself can fully enjoy them back to back.
Back to back. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so so far we have Fuzz Track City doesn't really fit into these.
No, Fuzz Track City is a good movie. I was just talking about these low budget
movies to sort of
explain like the difference. Like it is a feat to take that little money and turn it into 90 minutes of entertainment. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, you have to have some level of competency with respect to the camera.
Yeah, and it comes down to, I think in the case of Fuzz Track City, is the writing is so solid. Like, that's why Dee Wallace was willing to do it for nothing.
Yes.
Is because she read it and liked it. And she was like, this is great. And, you know, plus it was kind of a different part for her. She usually, you know, she was a scream queen for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, a kind of mom, like an E.T. and Cujo and all that.
Yeah.
And then
she still looks hot.
Oh, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous and wonderful.
There's a picture of her. No one can see this on the podcast, but she's on the movie poster, and she just looks awesome, you know, with those cheekbones and that expression. She has such expressive eyes.
And she got, in this movie, she got to be so sexy and sexual, and it was, and like a lot of times she's just like, the non-sexually threatening mom. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So she got to be, you know.
So do you think, I mean, can you understand, you know, young guys being into, like, 60-year-old women?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you ever?
Well, I've never been ageist when it comes to who I'm sexually attracted to.
No?
No. In fact, when I was a kid, I mean, if I was ageist, I was ageist against younger
women.
People. I was always attracted to
older women.
Older women, yeah. I mean, I worked in a video store in my hometown, and like every mom that came in there, there were like so many fantasies in my head, and these are, you know, unassuming, polite, like not thinking about me in a sexual level, and I have them in my mind.
But it's forbidden, you know. It's like they can't go there.
There was one lady that came in though.
Oh,
that I'm pretty sure she was like trolling for the. She was cougaring it up. Before there was such a thing.
She was prowling, dude.
She was prowling.
She was a cougar prowling for cubs.
And she was smoking hot.
Yeah.
Smoking hot. Italian, I guess. But she always wore, like, really tight, kind of hookery dresses, which I liked.
How old were you when you were at this video store?
16.
Oh, yeah.
And she used to come in and, like, a lot of perfume. But, you know, and part of me was like, oh, she, you know, was asked me right now to go fucking, I totally would do that right now with this married woman. But then afterwards I met her husband and I talked to my boss who, you know, was funny about those things. Cause he knew I was 16 and horny all the time, would tease me for it. But he was like, that's definitely not one you want to mess with. And I was like, why? And he's like, have you met her husband? And I was like, no. And he's like, I'll point him out the next time he comes in. And he came in and this guy was full on Goodfellas.
Oh no.
Not the top tier Goodfellas, like the shitty one, like the crazy one. Like, and he always like had like, you know, like a open shirt with a wife beater on and like gold chains and shit, and just like was just mean, and just you could tell he was angry. Like, so if he caught you with her, that would be it.
Yeah,
that would be it.
He would lose your dick.
Yeah, so yeah, you can probably lose everything. But he'd probably start there.
Yeah, I so, imagine.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Especially with his full loaded gun in his back pocket.
So, yeah, exactly. So that worked out for me. So that was good. Yeah, I didn't get killed.
Did you ever have sex with an older woman?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, not like 4 or 5 years older, but maybe 20 years older.
No, I don't think I've ever had sex with someone who's 20 years older. I mean, it was just, it wasn't that I didn't want to. It was just there wasn't, you know, there's not a lot of social crossover in that, like, way. It's almost like it has to happen in the kind of movie-ish, sort of ludicrous movie-ish way.
Like the boy next door, the movie that's
Yeah, it has to be that way. Yeah. It's like, you're the boy next door, you're literally the kid who delivers the groceries or whatever.
Yes. Or the pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, it's the summer of 42 and you're the boy down the beach and, you know, the soldier husband didn't come back from the war. Mrs. Robinson. It has to be that way.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't hang out. Like, I wondered that too about, like, when I was younger, I, you know, didn't date a lot of people who weren't white. In fact, none. You know, the most exotic, you know, I, like, dated Jewish girls. That was as far out of my race as I got, sort of thing. And I was always like, why, why? And then I thought about it, I was like, because there wasn't a lot of social crossover. Because of, well, one, I grew up in a very segregated state, and my town was all white, so when I was in high school, that really wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. But in college, when I was at NYU, I was like, why isn't there more?
Well, there'd be a lot.
It's still like socially, it was still socially segregated.
I think it's still similar.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of social segregation when it comes, and still social norms about interracial relationships. Still, even now. You know, well, it's amazing that it exists, but it does.
I realized on my web series, The Film Pigs, on Geek Nation, that we hadn't had until...
Thanks for the shameless plug.
Well, yes.
Good grief.
I just want people to know where to go.
I love it.
So, it's not like anybody who listens to this doesn't already know about that, but, you know, it's just, I feel like I need to... But anyway, so I need to be specific about what I'm referencing anyway. But we were.
Is this how you get famous?
This is how you get famous. Shameless self promotion.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I realized, like, we got to episode like 125 or 130 episodes of the web series.
Yeah. Could you repeat, like, where that is?
It's on geeknation.com and it's called The Film Pigs.
Okay.
But I realized we had never had a black guy as a guest on the show.
Oh my god.
I was like, Jesus Christ. But then I realized I don't have a lot of black male friends.
No.
But I've worked with them and I know them, so I reached out to this guy, Joe Holt, who I'd done a commercial with years ago, and was like, hey, would you do this web series? He was like, yeah, totally. And he was hilarious.
Yeah.
We did a sketch, you know, that Equalizer movie with Denzel Washington?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That was a good movie.
I loved that movie.
Yeah. It was really good.
Perfect double feature of 2014 movies is The Equalizer and John Wick. Watch those together.
Oh, I haven't seen them together, but I love
John Wick. But I can't wait for them both to be on Blu-ray because I'm going to watch them both together.
Well, you can do now. iTunes has them both for rent. So you can
it's better on Blu-ray.
Why?
Because the sound's better in my
But if you don't have the right equipment, like you have a Blu-ray player, but
a Blu-ray player will
the sound
do
is
a good job
too?
With the, yeah, if but it depends on the source.
Right.
It depends on where you're getting it from. Like there are some movies on Netflix that the surround sound will be good, but it's not all of them.
Oh.
You know, Blu-ray's a guarantee. I don't know. I just obviously you're sitting in my office, you're surrounded by all this plastic garbage.
Yeah.
I like have a thing about shiny discs.
Yeah, but Blu-ray is a special kind of shiny disc.
Well, it looks a lot better. It's
it
awesome.
Does. It has like.
Yeah, it's
in
crisp.
The background.
Yeah. It looks really nice.
We don't have a Blu-ray player, so I don't know.
The problem is like I watched the Back to the Future trilogy the other day on my birthday because it was my birthday.
So sad.
Why is that sad to you?
I don't know.
You don't like the Back to the Future movies?
No, it's not about the movies. It's about you sitting home watching films back-to-back on your birthday. You should be getting, like, cereal blowjobs or something.
Oh, that would have been great, but there was a lot of illness in the house, and I couldn't go out for cereal blowjobs. That was the initial plan, was to go on a cereal blowjob tour of the San Fernando Valley.
Excellent.
But
all the women in the San Fernando Valley had the flu. It's kind of hard to believe.
There was a lot of sickness. Like everybody was sick. So I couldn't make it happen. So I watched Back to the Future. I would have preferred to watch like a more R-rated, kind of movie festival.
Yeah.
But my son was home, so I had to find something that was appropriate.
How do you do that with a kid? Like, watch... Because some of these movies, you know, some of them that are so... Like, John Wick is extremely violent.
No, I don't watch that. The answer is I do not watch that with my son. But my
but
wife
here
and I...
a lot.
He is.
Right, he's just little, so it's not like you can get a babysitter every time you want to watch an R movie at home. How do you do that?
If I was rich, I would.
Yeah.
No, it's really simple. He goes to bed, and then we watch our R-rated fare. Well, there you go. That was another audio staying at the end of the truncated recording. I hope you realize after listening to that how wonderful Karen is. And how great a conversation it was we were having. I'm glad she is such a wonderful and forgiving person and says she'll do it again. So we'll do it again and get it right next time and lift this curse brought on to me by demons from the netherworld. Most likely created in Clive Barker's mind, but then released from his imagination through a series of spells cast by Stephen King in a seance with Gary Busey. So that's it. Thanks for listening to this Toncast that never quite was, but that is now because it's a salvage. It was a salvage operation. Look, I did my best, you guys. I don't get paid to do this. People don't pay me to... it pisses me off that you expect more. It does. Toncast.